You may have heard of the lean startup movement, a phrase coined by an MIT professor. But what if you applied lean thinking to media and creative companies? This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton speaks with a media relations expert and author about his efforts to bring a lean framework and approach to media ventures. That chat begins now.
Hello and welcome, and thanks for listening. With social media and other platforms, individuals, more than any other time, can become broadcasters. They can cultivate audiences, they can try new things, they can fail, and then they can try something different. Now, pair that new dynamic with a business approach made popular in the tech startup world. It's called staying lean. Our next author is a longtime media executive and veteran of the industry. He began work on his book, Lean Media, after attending a 2010 MIT lecture by Eric Ries. Ries, of course, is an early proponent of the lean startup movement. Ries's focus was on software and technology startups, but Lamont realized that certain lean ideas about product development, feedback cycles, and eliminating waste could be applied to media content as well. Our conversation about the lean framework starts now.
My name is Ian Lamont, and I am the author of Lean Media.
Let's start at the beginning with lean, though. I think your background was in lean startups, right?
So I did have a startup before. I had a tech startup. We created a mobile software app. But actually, most of my experience is in the media industry. And I've been doing this for about 25 years. Started out in the British music industry, worked for a daily newspaper, worked for a television station, and I've also worked for several IT trade publications, both in print and online. So I have a pretty deep well of experience in the media business. And this allowed me to get some insights into the way that media teams operate. And kind of using some influence from the lean startup movement and lean manufacturing, I developed this framework, especially for people who create media or companies that create media.
Yeah, that's what really interested me about your book and why I'm glad you could give us some time to talk, because I have a similar background. I did not do music, though. I did not. You have multimedia, multi-platform experience, and I was print, digital, broadcast, radio, broadcast television, and built teams on all of those platforms as well. So my interest in here was, first of all, it was the lean part of it. Can you help me framework what you mean by lean when it comes to media and content creation?
Lean. So when you're talking about lean business frameworks or lean production frameworks, the focus is on eliminating waste. And for a company like a media company, what I say is that the team should really focus on having a group of creative people who are just big enough to create something great. You don't want too many people on the team. You definitely do not want design by committee. Just enough people to make something great. And also eliminating kind of touch points for non-essential stakeholders to get involved and to vet the media. Oftentimes, this type of involvement by, for instance, people on the business side of a company or maybe partners, they add feedback which can actually damage the media being created. The most important thing for the media team is actually what the audience thinks. You want to get audiences so excited about the media that you're creating, whether it's a book or a movie or a website or a video game or whatever, that they're going to come back to it again and again. They love your brand. Like if you're releasing books, they're going to read the next one in the series. They're going to follow you as an author. If you're doing a radio show, yes, they're going to tune in every morning at 7 o'clock to listen to what you have to say. This is what lean media is really focused on, is getting people, getting teams to focus their creativity, understanding audiences, what they think about it during the development process, not after it's launched, and also reducing this waste, which is a pretty critical element of any lean framework.
Okay. Well, you and I definitely are on the same page when it comes to too many cooks in the kitchen. I always said the bigger the committee, the browner the product came out.
Exactly.
How are you addressing the creativity part of it? I mean, are you taking the same approach as if you were looking for a market opportunity?
No, it's not. I'm glad you actually brought that up, and I'm also glad that you used the word squishy to describe what media people do, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to get people excited about intangible aspects of whatever we're creating. It might make you laugh, it might make you clap, it might make you cry, might make you want to find out more, but these are intangible things that are sometimes very hard to measure and also hard to design for. Compared to like a product startup, whether you're making a light bulb or a software as a service application, where you have certain criteria you have to make. I mean, one of them is the light bulb or the software as a service application. It has to turn on. You know, it has to do some practical function. It might have a design element, but practicality is also behind a product startup. Whereas a media thing, we're creating something that will just get audiences excited in intangible ways. And that really makes media products different than a product like a light bulb or a software application or a car or a pair of shoes or what have you.
I see. As far as audience acquisition, obviously you grabbed my eyeballs, but I also create media. Is that the intent of this? Am I your target audience for this, or can it scale up and down?
If you're talking about the book and the framework, yes, this is really aimed at any kind of person who works on making media. And it could be even someone who owns a company and then their company makes media, sometimes even non-traditional companies. So right now, you have government agencies or a car company. They're creating media. They're creating advertisements, or they're creating special content for their websites. And then we have, you know, people like you work in the media industry as professionals. And then you have sometimes solo creators, might be an author or a musician or someone like that. This book is for them. And I've structured the framework in a way that practically any type of creator can use it. And does it scale up? And yes, the answer is absolutely it does scale up, because it could be something where it's a very niche-oriented product, such, you know, a local radio show or a book that's aimed at a certain audience, but it could be something that's really meant to be going after a national audience or really even a global audience or something like that. It's the framework is pretty flexible in that regard.
So when the book landed on my desk and I talked to my producer, my first take was, everyone is kind of a broadcaster because of social media right now. Everybody has their own audience, and they can get their own confirmation biases and their feedback loops. And then I thought about it, and what you just said right there was about scaling up and applying across. That made a little more sense, too. So I think you've really tapped into something here. Have you seen this in action yet? Have you got an idea or an example of a creation that has been consumed by using this format?
In the book, I give lots of examples. Some are really big kind of superstar type creations that actually started out using lean methods. And then other ones are things that I've worked on myself or other people have told me about that are relatively small. And I'll give you a few examples. So going big, Minecraft is one of my favorite examples. And maybe for your audience out there in California, they'll be very familiar with this. Like every kid from the age of about 5 to 13 is into this game, or has at least tried it. Mm-hmm. And the way it was developed was a video game developer, his name is Notch, he's a Swedish man, he created this part-time, working on his own. He had this vision for this creative game where you could be building things. And what he did was, it was just him at first, and then later on it was a very small team. So he didn't have any extra waste or unessential people getting in the way of creating this thing. And then he paid very close attention to what audiences were saying about it. He would put a test build up on the website, let people try it out. He would listen to what they had to say in their comments, but also he would be looking at the quantitative data that he had access to see how people were playing through a level or something like that. He would also do something like he would, you know, watch people playing the game in real life just to see how they were using the keyboard, what they were looking at, listening to their questions. And he used this feedback to really iterate very quickly and create a masterpiece of a game. It was bought by Microsoft for $2.5 billion a few years ago. Another example on a small scale would be Modes View. This is a China-based publishing company, and the creator of it actually contacted me after seeing some blog posts that I'd written. And basically what he does is he does the same thing, but on a smaller scale. So he will identify, basically the end product is a high-quality art photography. And what he does is he uses a lean method to identify potential artists. And he goes on Instagram. Most of these Instagrammers are people in China, and looks for really creative young photographers who are using their smartphone to create these, you know, works of art on their smartphone. And he looks and sees what people are commenting about it. Then he approaches them and says, hey, do you want to make a book about this? He'll create some kind of prototype books. These are smaller versions of books with some of the pictures inside. He'll distribute them. He'll let people comment on them. He'll listen to what people are saying. And then he and the artist, they'll kind of collaborate to make an even more impressive work based on the feedback that they're getting. And at the end of the day, this is not a book that's going to be selling millions of copies, but for their niche audience, these are people who like art photography, and especially things from China. This is a really powerful product because they've used that audience feedback to improve what they're doing over time.
When you're creating like this and you're pushing new stuff out into the world, it's not always going to work. So does your method help with, you know, the courage to fail?
Yes, it does. I'm glad you asked that question. A big thing in many types of companies is the pivot. And I address this in the Lean Media book, specifically for media companies. And basically, if you're hearing from your test audiences that something isn't quite working out the way that you thought, it's time to think about changing the format, or maybe mixing up the team a little bit, or doing a different approach than what you had originally envisioned and testing that out. And then the other thing that I say in terms of failing, it's not just failing fast, it's also just putting down your keyboard, stepping away from your desk, moving away from the studio, and just saying, this isn't working out. No matter what I do, the audience is not going to like it. Let's not spend any more time or money on this thing and just kill it and then move on to the next thing. What you might see in the startup world when this happens is they'll just keep on going until they run out of money. And I believe for media, you have to cut and run at a much earlier stage. If you've tried to pivot, it's not working, and, you know, you just don't see any path to audiences getting really enthusiastic about it, why are you wasting your time? Like, if you're creating a new podcast and you're finding out that, you know, your test audiences are saying, well, you know, I actually don't like the chemistry between the host here, or the topic you're talking about is not that interesting, why beat yourself up about this?
Right.
And move on to the next project. And you can use that as a learning experience. You'll understand something about your audience and maybe about the people you're working with. Then you can use that to create something completely new that's a lot better, that has a better chance of succeeding.
This has been very fun and very informative. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
That was Ian Lamont. His new book, Lean Media, helps non-traditional or startup media companies navigate their landscape from audience acquisition to having the courage to fail, grow, and relaunch something. His Twitter is at ilamont, and for links to his book and actually all of the sourcing for this week's show, please look for this week's show story at kgoradio.com. And that's it for this week's show. We hope you liked the topics and the guests as much as we did. You can let us know a couple of different ways. I'm on Twitter. I'm at KGO Jason, and we are on Facebook. We post every week's musical playlist there as well, facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. For producer Liana Wilcox and executive producer Mike Anthony, I'm the host and the writer, Jason Middleton. Thanks again for listening, and have great weeks, everybody.